This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Today we're going to be partaking of communion, and before we get into that, I actually want to just take a little time and let's talk about it. Are you all okay with that? Let's talk about it before we hop into it. I want you to think this morning as we get going, I want you to think about someone who has maybe walked into church for the very first time that has had no experience in a church setting whatsoever. So they've never been, let's say they come to Church Alive, they walk into service, we're worshiping, we eventually get into the Word, of course, and they're just taking it all in. Let's imagine that we move on to communion, and so they're seeing us standing, they're seeing us holding what looks like a cracker, a little wafer. They're seeing us eating it, drinking juice out of what almost looks like a small thimble. They see some people with their eyes closed. They see some people who are maybe even crying while they're partaking of communion. From the outside, to someone that does not understand the context, it's probably going to seem a little strange. Would you all agree? If they've not had any background time in church, it's probably going to seem a little strange. But y'all, I don't think it's only first-timers, those types that I just described, who watch communion happen without understanding it. I think that there's a lot of folks, even in the church setting, that go through the motions, but maybe they've lost the meaning of what they're really doing whenever they're partaking of communion. Today, I want to just call our teaching simply, do this. And what I want us to do is to look again at what's actually happening whenever we partake of communion individually and as a church. Now, rather than points, y'all know I'm a point guy, we're going to change it up and we're actually going to answer some questions today. So that's how we're going to kind of go about our teaching. And my hope today is that as we partake of the elements here in just a little while, that you're going to feel the weight of what you're holding whenever we're going through that. Y'all ready to go today? Amen. Amen. Let's go to Luke 22. That's where we're going to start this morning. We'll start in verse 19, and it says this, "And he," of course Jesus, "took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Now, as we hop into things today, our first question that I want us to answer is ultimately, what are we remembering? What are we remembering? Now, Jesus didn't come up with this moment that we just read about on the fly. It didn't just come out of nowhere and he's like, "Oh yeah, by the way, this is my body." It didn't come out of nowhere. I want you to just understand what we're looking at. He was sitting at a Passover table. This was a meal that Jewish families had repeated for over 1,000 years. You've got the bread, you've got the cup. Part of this meal was the story of what took place whenever death passed over the people, you remember, in Egypt, right? Because there was the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Do we remember that? Now, in the middle of this really important meal that they're having, Jesus picks up bread, just like they had eaten at every other Passover meal, and he says something that had never been spoken during one of these meals before. He says this. He says, "This is my body," as he's holding the bread. He takes something that they already understood, but he gave it new meaning at that moment. Whenever you look at the items that were part of what they would call the Passover Seder plate, all the items meant something. So, for instance, there were bitter herbs, and what those represented was the bitterness of the slavery that their ancestors had experienced whenever they were in Egypt. There's also the unleavened bread, of course. And that's all about the fact that they left Egypt in such a hurry that there wasn't time for the dough to rise. And just as a heads up, Exodus 12:39 speaks of that if you ever want to check that out. But what they were going through with this meal, it wasn't just a meal. It was actually like an incredible edible history lesson, we could say. I mean, literally remembering the past as they went through the meal. And every Jewish family, they retold it every year. Why? So that nobody forgot where they came from and so that nobody forgot what God had done in their life. Come on, somebody. What they were saying was this, is they were saying, we were in captivity, but God. Come on, that's somebody's testimony here today, right? You were bound by some things, but then God stepped in. Too many times we forget what he pulled us out of. And we need to always remember where we are, right? Where we were and what happened in between. He happened in between, amen? And so that's what they were remembering whenever they were having this meal. Listen, we were in captivity, but then God. And so Jesus reaches for the bread, and he wasn't just grabbing some prop whenever he did this. He's taken a symbol that represented God's deliverance. And here's what he's saying. He's saying he himself is the ultimate deliverance to which Passover was pointing. He was the ultimate deliverance. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, Paul says something that I think I've probably read a lot of times, and I've not really noticed one part of this verse. He says this, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim." Somebody say proclaim. Proclaim, proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He didn't just say remember it quietly in your own head. No, but to proclaim, to announce what he's done for us. Come on now. To announce what he's done for us. I think for a lot of us, whenever we hear the word remembrance, we think about like maybe just closing our eyes and then just thinking back on an event that maybe took place in our life. But that's not really what's happening. Every time we as a church partake in communion, together we're retelling the most important story in all of history. Amen? And whether we realize it or not, we're remembering and proclaiming that he died. Okay, this is answering our question here. Whether we realize it or not, we're remembering that he died. He was broken, he was poured out, and that he's going to return as well. Amen? That's what we're remembering. Number two, our second question is, what are we examining and recognizing? What are we examining and what are we recognizing? I want us to pick up in verse 27 of what Paul was writing there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it says this. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning," by the way, your translation may say recognizing, "not discerning or recognizing the Lord's body." Now, I think sometimes this passage makes people a little nervous right before communion, because if you're reading these verses and you hear words like guilty, you hear words like judgment, I'm wondering if some people are like, you know, I think I'm just going to sit this one out. I think it's probably just best that I not even partake and like maybe, you know, bring something upon myself. But I want us to think about this just for a minute. We need to look at the context in which Paul was writing. Whenever we read scripture, we've talked about this, we always need to know the context, correct? So let's talk about it just for a minute. The church in Corinth had actually turned the Lord's Supper into something ugly. And so Paul was having to correct them. And if you look in 1 Corinthians, you can kind of read through it. Paul did a whole lot of correcting in 1 Corinthians. I mean, he addresses things like the fact that believers were suing each other. There were lawsuits between brothers and sisters in the Lord. He addresses sexual immorality. He addresses the fact that there was just no love between a lot of them. So he's talking to them about a lot of different things. And so then he's also addressing this as well. Now, this meal looked a whole lot different than what we partake whenever we are doing communion. It actually was a meal, right? And so what we see is that whenever you look back in what Paul's talking about, you had a lot of people who were showing up to this meal. They were just pigging out. They were getting drunk. And then you would have people who would come later because they had to work. And normally it was those who were honestly just poorer. And they would show up and then there was nothing for them to even partake of. And he, by the way, verse 21 of the same chapter, chapter 11, he addresses that right there. So they show up and there's nothing left because you had some who were basically kind of like gluttons just taking it all. And so ultimately, a meal that was supposed to represent one body, a meal that was supposed to represent one family, it didn't look that way at all. And so Paul's getting on to him about it. And that's the unworthy manner that he's talking about. What he wasn't saying is you're not acting spiritual enough. What he wasn't saying was, you sinned this week, so you need to sit this one out. That's not what he was saying. He's talking about people who were taking communion while completely disregarding what and who it represented. Do you hear me?
Yes.
They were taking communion, but they were completely disregarding what it was about, and they were disregarding who it was about. And that's what he's talking about here. He's describing how they participated and not whether they were personally worthy. Now, I need to talk about that just for a second. If we have to be personally worthy, we're all in trouble, right? We're all in trouble. We could never take of communion if that's the way it is. But in verse 29, it speaks of discerning or recognizing the Lord's body. We read that just a moment ago. That really kind of means two things at once. It means recognizing that the bread represents the actual body of Jesus broken for us. Okay, it's not just a wafer. It's not just a cracker. And it means recognizing the body, hear me, that's around you right now. The people that you're around. The church family. Your brothers, your sisters in the Lord. Y'all, these people around us, they matter, don't they? And it's making sure that we're looking at them and we're really recognizing them. And again, examine yourself. It doesn't mean to make yourself personally worthy, because again, we can't do that. And aren't you grateful that he's already done that for us? Come on, somebody. He's already done that for us. So let's talk about answering the second question of ours. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're taking the table of communion with the right posture and that we're not just going through the motions. And before we take the elements, even today, we need to take a moment. Hear me. We need to actually notice what's in our hands. The bread, what does it represent? We need to recognize who's around us as well. Y'all, that's the difference in it being a snack, and that's the difference in it in us receiving a sacrament. Really recognizing and really examining. Let's look at our third question today, and that's this: what are we receiving? What are we receiving? Now, I want us to go back to Luke 22, where we started, whenever we started this morning. It says this: and he took the bread, he gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then let's hop to Matthew 26 and look at what Matthew writes in verse 27. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, something I want us to think about today: whenever you look at the bread, whenever you look at the cup, they're not identical. Amen? They're not identical. The cup, the blood, is directly tied to forgiveness. Amen? And the new covenant. And how many of y'all are just so grateful for that? Amen? Come on, that we're forgiven. Are we grateful for the new covenant? Amen? And then the body, right? The bread, the body, is tied to something that the prophet Isaiah prophesied, hear me, centuries before the cross. Now, this is what we would actually call a messianic prophecy, which simply means this was a prophetic word about the coming Messiah, right? And so whenever you look at what Isaiah writes, chapter 53, verse 4, you're going to recognize this. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. And he's carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it's by his stripes that every one of us are healed. Thank you, that we've all been healed. We just read from Matthew a minute ago, and something that I find very interesting is Matthew actually ties this prophecy into Jesus' healing ministry. You may say, what do you mean by that? In chapter 8, verse 17 of Matthew's gospel, it actually says Jesus healed the sick to fulfill what Isaiah said about him. Here's something for you to just think about, for you to kind of chew on this morning. Hear me today. Healing was not an afterthought in God's plan. We know as soon as sin entered the world, there was a plan that was put into place for you and for me, because God loved us so much. And it ultimately involved His Son coming to give His life for you and I. But I want you to understand, at some point, God didn't just all of a sudden say, you know what? We could include some healing as well. That's not the way it was. It was part of His promise from the very beginning. Isaiah spoke about this long before the cross, and then Jesus showed it through the way that He healed people. Hear me. On the outside, physically, but also on the inside, spiritually as well. And so to me, the cup reminds us that we've been forgiven. Praise God for that. The bread reminds us that we've been made whole. And again, not just physical, but spiritually as well. Pardon and healing, side by side. Side by side. Now, I'm not telling you today that communion's a magic pill that just makes you healthy just like that, because that's not what it is. But I am telling you that communion isn't only a place to look backward at what Jesus did for your sin. Hear me. It's also a place to reach forward, and receive what His body purchased for our body. What it purchased for our body. For your health. For your weariness. For whatever it is that you're carrying today that you walked in with. And so in just a little while, whenever we take the juice and whenever we take the bread, don't just think forgiven, although we want to acknowledge that we've been forgiven. But I also want you to think about the fact that you're meant to be made whole. You're meant to be healed, amen? Everything for our healing has already been done. We've got to understand that. You've been healed spiritually because of what He did on the cross, but physical, emotional healing of your mind is available as well. So today, I just want to encourage you, set before Him every battle that you're in today. In your body, in your mind, in your home, in your heart. Trusting that through His suffering, that He's made provision for your healing. He's made provision for your peace. He's made provision for your restoration as well. And I want you to know today that maybe you're dealing with exhaustion, maybe you're dealing with anxiety or depression. I know so many people are. He took care of your peace as well. His body was broken for your peace as well. Can you stand with me today? So as we're about to get ready to partake of the bread and of the cup, before we get into that, I just want to share something with you. If you're here today, maybe it's your first time, maybe not. But if you're here today and if you have never said yes to Jesus as your Savior, if He's not truly Lord of your life, if you truly don't know if you're right with God, then I'm going to ask you not to partake. And here's the reason why. Because whenever you do partake, it needs to mean something. But if you're here and you say, I don't know if I'm right with God, then let's talk about that just for a minute. Amen? Are y'all cool with that? Can we just talk about it just for a minute? Because this is the most important part of the service right here. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, I just got to ask you, why not? I mean, really, why not? If you walked in today and you say, I don't know Him, there's a really good chance that you don't have a whole lot of peace in your life. There's a real good chance that you don't have a whole lot of hope in your life. There's a really good chance that you feel like you're just going through the motions day after day, waiting for your ticket to be pulled. Can I go ahead and tell you that's not the way you and I were ever meant to live? That's not the way you were ever meant to live. You may have walked into this place and you saw a whole lot of people smiling and excited about life, and you're thinking, what are those people on? We just love Jesus, amen? He's done a work in our life, and that's a reason for us to have a smile on our face. Come on, somebody. Some people, they maybe feel like God's mad at them, like he's frustrated with them, like he's out to get them or something. Yesterday, I was in Romans chapter 5, and verse 11, I love this. It basically says this: whenever you have a relationship with God, he's your friend. He's your friend. The God who created the universe wants to be a part of your life, wants to be your best friend, somebody. How exciting is that? He's not after you. He wants to be your friend. He loves you. Let's talk about that love. We could go back to Romans 5, verse 8. It talks about God demonstrated his love. While we were still actively sinning, that he gave his son Jesus for us. Why? To fix our sin problem, our past, present, and even future sin. Amen? And then I love this. Romans 10, 13 says that everyone who calls on the name, everyone, it doesn't matter what color you are, what your income is, what you've done, how many times you've been arrested, none of that matters. Everyone, somebody say everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How wonderful is that? It includes all of us. Come on today, if you would, just bow your heads. So if I've been talking to you for the last couple minutes, and you say, Pastor Gene, I'm not 100% sure if I know God, if I have a relationship with him, I've never asked him to be Lord of my life, I've never asked him to save me, then today is the day for that. You need to leave here different. You need to leave here with hope. You need to leave here knowing that you are right with God Almighty. So this morning, it's just me and you. Everybody's got their heads bowed. If you say, Pastor Gene, I want to know for sure that I'm right with God. I want to know for sure that I'm right with God. Would you do me a favor and just quickly slip your hand up? Just so you're showing me or you're showing God that you mean business today. Is there anybody here today? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, praise God. Hey, let's all pray together. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. Today I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to be my Lord. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Today I turn from my sins, and I invite you into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.